Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. How are you?
I'm surprised you didn't say a day closer to Friday.
We are getting there.
I know, man. All right. And listen, I got a great show lined up for you this morning. As always, in the 9 o'clock hour, I'm going to be joined by a really good friend and a Pulitzer Prize winner, Emmy Award winner, writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, James Causey. And he's going to come in the studio, and we're going to have a great conversation about many things. But before that, I'm joined by my colleague here at Civic Media. Is your name Dan Brown?
That's it, Earl.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Is this thing on? Oh, there we go.
You go.
All right. Hey, good morning, Earl. Good morning, Calvin.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
You're the Saturday morning host of
This Week in Waukesha.
This Week in Waukesha.
8 to 9. Yep.
Yeah. You don't want to name it the Dan Brown Show.
I'm not a big name like Earl Ingram.
Oh, come on, man.
So,
No. But listen, man, I'm glad you had some time to spend with me this morning, because I wanna have the audience chime in on our conversation, because you're a good guy, man. You're a progressive guy. Is it safe to say that?
Sure, yeah. Thank you. I call myself progressive. Yeah.
Okay. And so I wanted to talk about our system of government.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love the listening audience to join in and chime in and ask you about your thoughts on our system of government. And has it gotten worse? Has it gotten better? I want to begin, Don, with, people talk about democracy. It's the greatest democracy in the world. You know, it's the youngest one. Yeah. I understand that.
Not the oldest.
The oldest. The oldest democracy, which, 200 and how many years?
Minus 1776.
Yeah.
Calvin?
Okay. Well, anyway, whatever.
You and I are both mathematicians.
Right? Yeah. So.
Long time, for sure.
Okay. So, democracy, man. What does that mean to you?
You know, it's a government that should be driven by the people, that should have a balance, and should have an esprit de corps, like what's best for all, and should be inclusive, and should really be not a top down, but a kind of a bottom up form of government. Granted, we do need smart people at the top that maybe know a little bit more than us and have great ideas, but the people should have a voice, and those that they elect should be listening to those voices. And the whole idea of just involving more people and having that balance, and I think it starts locally. My time as an alderman, there were in just the one term, I felt we'd achieved a lot because I involved the neighbors.
But before you go, before you go any deeper,
yeah,
you used the word "should" 6 different times.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is
where we both agree.
Okay. So should.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the majority of the American people know anything at all about what the definition of democracy is. It's a romantic kind of thought.
It's not a spectator sport.
That we somehow live in this democracy that is going to be all those sweet sounding things that you said.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the case.
Right.
Okay. So it's not that. And so we need to stop talking about democracy if we're not going to make it that. It's frustrating. It's difficult for many people in this nation to make it And so in a real democracy, they should have a fair and equitable opportunity to make it. Yeah. There shouldn't be people struggling at $10, $12 an hour.
No.
You know, and they're working every day.
And people living in poverty and homelessness. And
well, but even the people that are working, the people that are doing the things that we say
the majority of
doing,
us, yeah.
And yet those people can't make it in this great democracy of ours.
Right.
Because their system's set up that won't allow them to get ahead.
Right.
So help me understand how that part of the democracy is so great.
Well, I can't tell you that part of democracy is great. What I can tell you is I think that people are being led down a trail. They're on the far right. They're drinking the Kool-Aid, the QAnon Kool-Aid that says that there's too many entitled people here. You always hear that story. Oh, yeah, there's all these people living on welfare and all this stuff. And
it's not
you
true.
Know, yeah. There's welfare. It's corporate welfare. There's also people at the highest levels that are getting gigantic tax breaks. That I had Stephanie Williamson on my show Labor Day weekend, and she was saying like the CEO salaries, the percentage, the difference between that and like what the average skilled worker makes. It's this huge divide, and we're getting crushed. We're getting And we're losing jobs, you know, and for years we've lost jobs overseas. We're getting squeezed and something's got to give.
So is that solely a Republican issue? The fact that the inequity that's in this society, can you lay that solely at the feet of the Republican Party? No. Or is that something that's inherent in our government?
I wouldn't. I think throughout our history, you know, there was one side that kind of called the shots. And today, it's not the entire Republican Party. It's this powerful conservative segment of it that for years the party's been like catering to and feeding. And in some ways, they're like little kids. If we don't have our way, we're not going to vote for your candidate. Like, you look at a guy, we were just talking about President Obama earlier, and his reelection campaign against Mitt Romney. Let me finish this.
I know, but you're going to
10 million conservatives stayed home on election day.
I know, but before we get that far down the
road. But that's the problem, is we're catering to the right so much that now we're creating gerrymandered districts. We are squeezing people's personal rights more.
I know, but you're further down the road than where I want to eventually get there with
you. Sure.
But
I'm jumping the gun. Sorry.
Yeah, I want to go smaller steps.
Sure.
So the fact that so many Americans in this country are where they are, you say that solely because of Republicans. And I don't agree with that. I think the system.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say it's solely Republicans
I think there are Democrats as well who know that this system that is not working. Mm-hmm. And there are many of them who won't vote the right way to change it.
Right.
Because they are pawns, they are tools as well for a segment of the people that feel they're above the average American citizen. And people who have the money mm-hmm. control our government.
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so if people who have the money control our government, and there's nobody who can tell me differently, then what kind of democracy are we talking about? If the people who have the money mm-hmm. control the masses of us,
right?
We know this to be true, and Democrats can't break that yoke because there's some Democrats who benefit financially
these
things.
There's some old money Democrats and Democrats.
And the business
limousine
people.
Limousine liberals.
Yeah. And the business people.
Yeah.
So how do we begin to change what we know needs to be changed? And I'll say this, for the future generations.
Right.
This is not for you and I. This is the future generations.
Sure.
We have a responsibility to clean this up.
Yeah. So there's a great expression that taxes are the price you pay for living in a civilized society. And we've seen with the huge tax breaks that a lot of the elite have gotten, there was this.
They've always got news.
Right. But there was this belief, like this Reaganomics, that it was going to recirculate into the
trickle
economy.
Down.
Yeah. And it was going to and that hasn't, that's never really happened.
I know. So, yeah.
And so, but what about tax breaks for the middle class? What about tax breaks for, like, that's how government should be working. That's how the economy should be working. That's how, I mean, people with extravagant wealth should, they got to be looking around and saying, okay, the schools have been hijacked. The neighborhoods aren't as safe as they used to be. There's threats to our business. There's tons of, like, how many record strikes we have? It's like 321 strikes or something this summer. Like, it almost doubled 2021's. You know, there's, people are getting angry and they're getting upset. And something's got to happen.
Do you think people
before there's a civil war?
Do you think that people with extravagant wealth really give a rip about those things you're talking about?
Well, they will if it affects the safety of their children when they travel.
Safety of their children is
The stability of their business. If there's no consumers to buy their products because people don't have that disposable income that they once had, that's got to affect their bottom line. If there's, you know, whatever there is, a myriad of issues. If the environment continues, you know, if we keep having these weather patterns that would ultimately affect their business and their fortune, and they're, at some point, they'll have no choice but to react.
So let's do this. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. My colleague Don Brown is in the studio, and you know, I'm going to ask some tough questions, man. I mean, yeah. That's kind of what I do.
This is a good workout.
And you know, our phone lines are open. Don't let me do it alone, but I will. We'll be right back.
Sounds good.
Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Kroot. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance for isolated rain showers today, otherwise cloudy. High of 68, northeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows level off around 53. Highs around 71. Tomorrow, more clouds than sun. Dry with temps well above average. Saturday and Sunday, at highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Baby.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is my colleague, Don Brown. Don, why I'm really kind of, you know, coming at you in this manner. It's not just you, it's the system.
Sure.
Last night, a huge majority of United States senators pressed ahead with the legislation that would keep the government running for another 6 weeks after current funding levels expired Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stopgap effort that includes additional funding for Ukraine's war effort. The measure requires one more procedural step before going to the House, but with an overwhelming vote of 77-19, one thing seems pretty clear. If House Speaker Kevin McCarthy brings it to a vote, it will likely pass. So the question is whether McCarthy will bring it to the floor. He's been tap dancing since the start of his speakership when it became necessary to give most of his power away in installments in order to have a little for himself. He gave a virtual veto of a group insurgent Republicans who can't be trusted because they have no interest in governance. He's been tap dancing ever since, and the man is tiring.
Yeah.
Now, there should be no, if we're in a democracy,
mm-hmm.
and if these people who are in office are there for the best interest of the people who elected them, be they mm-hmm. Democrat or Republican,
right?
This should be an easy answer.
Yeah.
We're not going to shut down the government.
We're not going to let people starve.
Correct. The people don't have any control over that.
Right.
Right.
As of right now.
Yeah. Well, okay. So it's democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're expecting the people that they elected to look out for them.
Yeah.
It's a representative government, right?
Right.
So we can't ourselves go and petition the government to do what is right for us.
Well, in theory, if you get enough people to make some phone calls.
Yeah.
Write letters, that would take too long. Emails, phone calls, whatever it is that compels. And those enough with influence, maybe it's the head of an organization that has 500 votes or 600 or 1,000 votes. Say, look, if you want my support in when's their next election year, 24, you're going to avoid this shutdown. And that's what we need to see more of that happening. We need to see some citizen reaction. Government, whether it's democracy or whatever you want to call it, by definition, if you're a sociologist, it's the monopoly over the control of violence. And so you'll get this current scenario. If these forces on the right saying, well, screw the poor, or why don't they just get a job, whatever, why do we have to feed them, you know, forget them, shut down the government. That happens, and if enough weeks go by, there's going to be a violent reaction. There's going to be some sort of, and that's where the government starts to lose control. And so, or organized crime steps in and they start, you know, different elements, nefarious elements start taking that over. That's what these people have to think about is, do you love this country enough to be inclusive to everybody, avoid calamity?
Organized crime is in the Congress and the Senate.
Yeah.
That's where the organized crime is.
That's become, okay.
And on a much higher and broader level.
Yep.
But when the people don't understand that this is criminal, what they're doing,
it's terrible.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're going to punish a lot of people.
Sure.
Who can least afford to be punished.
Yeah.
And what point are they proving?
Just their own self-interest.
Yeah. Well.
And this doctrine that private interest should be the solutions to everything, and it can't be.
So let me ask you. So every 4 years, mm-hmm. there's an election for president of the United States.
Yep.
You know, every 6 years, there's an election for the Senate.
Yeah.
Every, what, two years for the Congress.
Yeah. So they're the ones that have to work the hardest.
Look how they set this system up. Ask yourself the question, why every 2 years for the Congress? Why every 4 years for the president? And why every 6 years for the Senate?
That's an interesting question. You'd have to go back to the framers when they did that.
Yeah.
And I think the idea was back when the biggest states in the union that had the most people, the smaller states were fearful of the big states dominating the agenda. And so the compromise, I think Ben Franklin was a big part of that, was that, well, if you have representatives for every, what is it today, 500,000 people? That's how the Congress, I think that is.
Right.
But if you have a second body of government, And it was basically based on the British constitutional monarchy.
So do me a favor, hold that thought, because we got to go to a break.
I think that's why senators have longer terms than
well,
House members.
Well, these are the questions that the American people should ask.
Sure. And maybe those should be 4-year terms.
We've got to go to a break. We'll be right back. My colleague Don Brown has joined me this morning. I'm glad he did. You can
me
as
too.
Well. 844-9.
I lost that love before. Got mad and closed the door. But you said, child, just once more. I chose you for the one. Now we're having so much fun. You treated me so kind. I'm about to lose my mind. You made me so very happy. I'm so glad you came into my life. The others were untrue.
I hate to interrupt. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is my co-host. Oh, no.
Guest. Special. colleague.
Colleague.
That's right.
Don Brown of
This Week in Waukesha.
This Week in Waukesha. You can hear him on Saturday mornings at
8 a.m.
At 8 a.m.
And then you'll hear me at 12:30 this Saturday, because I'll be broadcasting the Carroll University game at Augustana. That should be a big lineup.
By all means, you should tune in to
1 o'clock kickoff.
Very bright man. Let's go. And I'm talking about your belief in this thing they call democracy. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Cindy in Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. Your thoughts.
Good morning. Well, Earl, I think if the President of the United States has a 2-term limit, the Congress, the Senate, and the SCOTUS should have term limits, especially the SCOTUS. A lifetime appointment to me is absolutely ridiculous.
So, Don?
Yeah, hi, Cindy. I agree with the term limits on SCOTUS for sure. I'm not sure about Congress, and I also do acknowledge that a lot of these guys are on the take and there's graft, but I think with the time you've served in the Congress, with the experience you gain, the expertise you develop, the relationships you make, depending on what committee, that can serve the district, the state, the country better. And, if for those people that are genuinely...
And also serve themselves, so, because they become lobbyists.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing, is they lose, man. They become lobbyists. But I'll say this about President Biden, who was never his biggest fan. But the reason he's doing well as president is all that time he put in the Congress.
Cindy, thank you very much for the call.
Yeah,
I
thanks,
appreciate
Cindy.
It. Let's go to CJ. Hey, CJ. Democracy, man. What is it?
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I listen to how you represent what the Republicans believe all the time, but...
Hey, did you hear me also say Democrats? Things. Also said Democrats, man.
Yeah.
Or you didn't hear that.
Okay. Well, but you're going to blame the Republicans for the shutdown.
Absolutely. Republicans blaming the Republicans for the shutdown. What are you talking about, man?
I watched C-SPAN last night in the debate on a lot of these appropriation bills. And the mere fact that your grandchildren, Earl, owe $100,000 when they're born.
Hey, CJ, again, give us some information and some news, something different. You say that every time you're on the air. Okay. So what's different about it today that you give me the same, feed me the same steps that you feed me every day, man? Do I know that my grandchildren have all this? Yeah, we do know that there's all that debt. How do we fix it, man?
You stop spending, and that's what the Republicans are trying to do: reduce the spending.
So let me say this to you, man. If you really knew the truth of it, you wouldn't say it, because you don't know the appropriations that Republicans, the very Republicans you're talking about, and the spending that they're doing for their own districts. Are you aware of that?
I am aware of that.
Okay, well, then what are you talking about?
Yeah. And what? And Trump raised the debt ceiling by like $7 trillion. So I didn't see any great savings there or cuts or cost efficiencies.
Well, he's saying, and what gets me is he's saying the Republicans are trying to do something about this debt. And so this is the way they do it. They shut down the government. But if you look, CJ, at the appropriations that many of the very same hypocrites on the right are saying causes us to shut down the government, look in their closets, man.
How about $10,000 per immigrant for our school systems, our social safety net? $10,000. Multiply that times 7 million under this president. And you want to talk about debt?
Hey, CJ.
$70 billion.
Hey, CJ. $70 billion. You know, that's almost the increase that both Democrats and Republicans gave the Pentagon, who didn't want it.
Yeah.
So it's come right. on. That's peanuts.
Right.
Okay? That's peanuts. And you and others missed the whole boat. When you're talking about that kind of debt, when we've got a Pentagon budget almost $1 trillion, and you want to talk about $70 billion, okay?
That's all you do is deflect. You don't
deflect.
Answer,
he spoke
you
directly to your point. Yeah. And by the way, CJ, I don't think your ancestors came here on the Mayflower. I think they probably came the same way my family did, immigrants, and a lot of our major cities would shut down if we didn't have. Expatriates working hard to get their share of the American dream.
You know, here's a man who tells me that I deflect, and we're talking about something completely different. And he changes the subject, yeah. as he always does. And then because I don't follow his train of thought, I'm deflecting.
Sure.
Come on, CJ. You're the guy who's changing the subject.
All facts, right, Earl?
No, CJ, I keep telling you, man, it's the Earl Ingram Show. So I'm not going to keep letting you try to change the path and the subject that everybody else is following to you. Well, do you know that this is what I'm asking you about? The people who are making these decisions right now to shut down this government are Republicans. I'm not the guy who said it. Their own colleagues in both the House and the Senate agree to that. Republicans.
The Speaker has a slam dunk right now, but he's afraid to push it forward.
Yeah, I'm saying, man, there are Republicans who are saying that their colleagues are the ones and they're making a mistake. Are you aware of that?
I watched the debate, Earl. Heard your chief, Earl. You just want everybody to follow you. But the mere fact is what's causing the debt. I don't know if you watched the debate last night.
No, CJ. My stomach couldn't take it.
Shut the border down. You either shut the border down.
The border's not, CJ, the border is not what's causing the debt. You can laugh all you want to. What's going on at the border is not at the root of the debt crisis.
Okay, did you hear the numbers that I threw out at you?
Hey, CJ, I got to go, man. Thank you very much for the call. Tom, what's going on, man? Tom from L.A.
Hey, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. We don't have a democracy right now. We have an oligarchy. Ever since Citizens United legalized bribery, because, you know, of course, they named it, of course, Citizens
United.
We're
the new Russia.
So it sounds like a nice little cute word and has absolutely nothing to do. It should be called Corporations United. these politicians are bought off. Second, I hope you just give me enough time here to talk. Remember what I said about CJ or about people like CJ? If the Republicans are spewing it, they're doing it. Every time CJ laughs, that's him ducking. That's him, you know, saying exactly what he said you were doing, Earl, which you have never done. You have always taken people straight on for, you know, what they're saying. You've given a forum where people can talk, and every day he brings up the same talking point that there is. Now, I will say that we are a more secure and more prosperous nation under Democratic rule than we are under the Republican rule, and we have the receipts behind it. The Republicans have blown up the debt with every president that they have had, and the Democrats have to come in and clean the damn mess up. George War Criminal Bush did not even put the Iraq War on the books until Barack Obama came in and honestly put it on the books. So that, therefore, we had to take care of that whole mess with the Republicans just putting it on a credit card and never paying for it. The other thing I would say is that you look at FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the greatest president that we ever had, is in my opinion.
Next to Harry Truman.
And Franklin Delano Roosevelt, when he raised the tax rate, and it stayed that way all the way up until one great Republican, Eisenhower, kept it at 90% taxes on anyone that made over $3 million or more a year. And that was actually why we didn't have any billionaires in this country. And FDR said, when he said, my friends are going to be very angry with me because I'm raising the tax rate, and they say they're going to leave this country. Well, let me tell you, we will miss them very much, is what FDR said. You know what? He did what was best for the people. And the thing is, the Republicans want to keep it so people are broke, dumb, and deaf.
Subservient.
So therefore, they're working so damn hard that what ends up happening is they don't participate in their government. All they do is have time for bread and circus on TV, and that's all reality shows are. That's all that stuff, all the critic culture has become. Mm-hmm. And then we end up with someone like a Donald Trump for a president. So that's why we have the problems that we have. If we were able to get rid of Citizens United, get all money out of politics, which I believe that we can do if we have the political will to do so, and if we could get rid of all the money out of politics and restore government back to we the people, we would have a democracy once again.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Don, you want to respond?
You know, he just articulated, I guess, what I've been in our discussions prior to the show of what I was trying to say, is this whole idea of we the people, putting country before person, before self-interest. And you take the shutdown, the Republicans think they're saving money, but what will the cost be after the government opens up and there's just chaos and damage?
Do you really think they're doing this because they think they're saving money? Come on, man. I mean, what money are they saving?
That's my question. Yeah, I think they're trying to take this stand to show that they're not going to cater, or they're not going to bow down to Democratic interest. And then they're also going to play the entitled people card and all this ferocious government spending that they're mostly responsible for, but they're going to try to pit it on the Dems.
Here's a prime example.
It's showboating.
To hear CJ say, you know, they're talking about the debt and all of that, and
yeah.
CJ says the people down at the border are the cause of the debt.
Yeah.
I mean, just moronic.
Yeah.
And he speaks as if he knows what he's talking about as
right.
a fact.
Yeah.
And he'll argue with you as if he's got some ammunition that he's researched.
Right.
When he might as well be, you know, on the moon.
Yeah.
Because nothing that he says
right.
has anything, there's no correlation between that and this shutdown they're talking about.
We could have three or four times the amount of people crossing the border, but if we're focusing on job creation, on the right incentives for business, on the right government programs, you know, we can have all that and more.
All right, we got to go to break. Gene, hang on. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
You made me so very happy that I want to spend my life thanking you. Thank you, baby.
Temperatures reach up to 71. Tomorrow, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Now, let's go to Gene from McClair. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
Morning, Earl. Great show, as usual. And L.A., Tom, you go. I just cannot believe, you know, what they are. The Republican talkers and go on and on and on, because I've witnessed them for years. They get one issue and they beat it over and over and over and over and over again. And then they create chaos or a situation that they can bring up over and over and over again.
Well said.
Where somebody's in pain or suffering, so that you feel it like the people from down at the border bringing busloads of immigrants and putting them in a town without any notice, and then all of a sudden there's chaos. They got the cameras there, and people say, oh, look what they're doing, look what they're doing. And then you get people like CJ calling and say, hey, the Democrats are causing this. Oh, my God, the coronavirus. Instead of saying, why in the devil don't you address immigration policy?
Yes.
Wake up, CJ. Wake up, because we're not stupid, and people are waking up more and more every day as they suffer more consequences of the Republicans and big money donors. That's the biggest thing, because they don't bring up any issues that affect American people. They bring up their donors' issues so that they can give them big tax breaks, so they get more money put into their coffers, and they can be there over and over again until we wake up and vote for the person, not for the money. We're going to be a lot better off. Thank you, guys. Thank you for grace.
Hey, Gene.
Great job, Gene.
Take a chill pill. Thank you very much for the call, as always, my friend. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. This is what we're talking about over the break, this focus on single issues.
Let's go to Smoke Rider from Alabama.
Uh-oh.
Alabama. Hey, good morning to you, sir. Thank you very much. You say what?
Good morning to you. And
you need to turn your radio down.
Young man that was with you.
Turn your radio down.
Hey, Smoke Rider, I'm Don.
Turn your radio down.
Good morning to you, Don, and
thank you.
And Mr. Ingram, you know, that I was calling to find out if CJ is from Alabama, because he sounds like some men in Alabama that you know, Alabama and Mississippi, that they are neck and neck when it comes to darn people and also education. Either Alabama 49 and Mississippi 50. Yeah. All Mississippi is 49 and Alabama 50. But he sounds so much like some men down here where I live at, and we have the dumbest men in the South.
Look. How did you find out about the show?
Well, I was listening to you a time when you used to be on that station, on another station. And let's see, I think Yeah. I think I've been listening to you for about 2 years now.
Well, thank you.
This is my first time calling.
First time caller, long time listener.
They used to have a station called
Devil's Advocate.
Yeah,
that's on in the evening time.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But they're still around.
And I was hearing you during the morning time, and another man used to be with you. And they wanted to take him off of the show.
So let me do this, Smoke Rider. Man, thank you for the call because we're running out of time. I really appreciate it. Keep listening.
Yeah,
keep
thanks.
Calling. David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Hey, good morning, Earl. Really quickly, in response to Gene and Eau Claire, so this is twofold. One, we know corporations, and I will admit this, want cheap labor. We know that because if you look at the meatpacking plants and some other places, what have you, if you look at the majority of illegal immigrants that are coming over, they are men. And the reason why is because they are, as far as like Mexico, Central America, why are there so many of them being deported from those countries? And the reason being because it's a threat to the governments down in those areas, because there's potential of where you have these individuals where they could, you know, switch their vote, change their mind. And it's very unusual that you would have that going on. And the fact of the matter is the cartels are making a ton of money. So you got that issue going on. And then the other thing is, now on the Democratic side, it doesn't help when Tom in L.A., and I appreciate him. I really consider him as a phone friend.
Quickly, Dave.
Okay, yeah. What I was going to say was, but when you're offering in-state tuition to illegal immigrants and health care and other things, that is a huge incentive for people to come over. And unfortunately, the American taxpayers are the ones that have to subsidize that.
Yeah, most of these people come over here seeking opportunities to work, not for handouts.
But I understand, but they have nothing with them. So initially, when you look at what's going on in New York, like the schools and now they're stuffing them in hotels, the taxpayers are on the hook for this massive migration of people that we can't handle. And eventually it affects Americans' low wages because they're willing to work for less money. That money then goes back to those countries.
So David, let me ask you. So then wouldn't it make sense that if the business people would stop employing illegal immigrants, they would stop coming? So why don't we create something that will prevent the business people from taking advantage of these people?
Well, again, it's twofold because you have
Dave, we got to go, man. Thank you for the call. Don, thank you, man. I got to bring you back.